cliffcentral.com.
Wow. Like Sia said, if you weren't paying attention yesterday, you wouldn't have known, but the whole world was changing, right? Quite incredible. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's the 22nd of November. We're going to look after you this morning until 9 o'clock. I'm going to go straight to Elson, who's on the line. He wants to talk Zim. Hey, Elson. Oh, is he not there yet? I thought he was going to get straight in. All right, so Sia was going through, it seemed like the menopause that you were going through yesterday. What was that all about? You had a fever, you were lying down here in the studio. What's happening?
So, Roger.
Firstly, I wish I knew what is happening. And B, also Ben, like, it would be cool if I was making it up or whatever the case is. It was the oddest thing in the world.
Oh, were you just feeling horrible?
It was fever. I had such sensitive skin. My body and bones was aching.
Yeah.
It was just weird. So it all started on like Monday afternoon. And I got home and I felt like a little tickle in my throat thinking, oh, oh.
Please tell me, if you're getting sick and you're sitting in the studio with me, it's going to make it worse.
So I thought that, and I was in denial the entire afternoon, thinking, right, nope, you know, nope, I'm not getting sick, this is not happening, I don't ever get sick, and I always take care of myself, this is fine.
Right.
And Monday evening, I just had to be honest with myself, and I said, okay, you know, this is like stage 3 sickness, I don't want it to get to a full-blown 10, I am sick. And felt like as soon as I admitted that to myself, in like 20 minutes, I was now curled up in the fetal position.
Yeah.
About to call my parents, crying, saying like, I need them in my life right now. So I don't know what happened. I had the fever, then I was feeling all lightheaded. I took some medication, went to bed and felt very delirious because I woke up quite a number of times during the evening.
Yeah.
In cold sweat, I had to change my PJs. Even just waking up in the middle of the night and going to the loo felt like the longest adventure ever. Finally woke up, came to work yesterday morning. It was a mess. I was telling my valet actually yesterday, I had to drive with my sunglasses on because that's how much my head was just spinning and I felt like I was a danger on the road if I didn't do that.
By limiting your visibility, you were safer to the rest of us.
Well, it kind of, I don't know, darkened everything. So it made everything better. And I was out of here, I think, at like 10 a.m. because I couldn't even do any work at all. Got some medication, went past the doctor, got some medication, slept. And when I woke up again, like 2 in the afternoon, I was fine. So I have no cooking clue what that was at all. That's why I'm considering it was actually menopause.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
No, that makes sense in the world.
Looking at the evidence, it was menopause.
Of course.
Every 2.3 seconds, I was either switching the aircon on or off.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like I was having hot flushes.
Right.
But it felt like my hot flushes were having hot flushes on their self.
Wow. Mm.
Oh, menopause.
Yeah.
It was that time of the month. Well, that time of my life, folks.
Well, medical school should just study you. Just take you aside. Dedicate an entire wing of a building.
Yeah.
It's how called could the Sia Sangweni Special Research Facility.
How could they have gotten it wrong this entire time?
I really don't
you
know.
You with no ovaries.
Yeah, how could
you
how could
in your 20s you. Are definitely suffering you. From menopause.
It happens, folks. I was having weird cravings. I had to order in from like an Indian restaurant because I was just like yesterday, I needed Indian curry in my life and I did. I had like 2 spoons of it, then I was done. See you once again, menopause.
Well, at least you had water.
Oh, right. You're living in Cape Town now, technically.
I'm looking at the clouds going, it's going to rain so I can properly wash my hands.
Yeah, what is going on in Joburg
at the
moment?
There's a massive burst water pipe so bad that Greater Sandton area might not have water until tomorrow.
What's that all about? Where's the burst pipe?
Well, I don't know, Gareth. There's always some dipshit who can't do his job in this country. So it's a massive burst pipe, bajillions of liters of water just gone. So, also, I think it's karma. We've been quite, like, casual about ripping off Cape Town, but at least Cape Town does have stuff coming out of the taps. You can't use it that much, but we've got nothing.
So you haven't had a shower or a bath?
I had a swim.
Oh, okay.
You know how savage that is? And if you go, you go to, like stores at night around the area just to buy water. There's no water.
Wow.
All that's left,
so people moved quickly.
All that's left is that French stuff that Cameron Diaz used to bath in.
Oh, which really? Is shit expensive as
how
well.
How savage it is to live like this. And apparently it's not even coming back today because the burst water main was so bad.
God, that's awful. I mean,
2 days in summer.
People in Cape Town and Zim have it better.
They do. They do.
So Sandton is not the place to be.
The things we're doing with the precious water that we have.
Unbelievable.
Boiling stuff and melting ice. And ice.
Wow. All right. Well, there's still a lot of people talking about Brian Molefe. They want to know why he is such a cockroach, always coming out and not being wanted anywhere. Yeah, he just can't find a place, that guy, where he could stay. By the way, speaking of places to stay, where can Robert Mugabe go now? Because is he going to stay in Zim or is he going to leave? Is he going to come here? What's the story?
I would like for him to be as far away from us as possible.
Because the EFF say they would love him to come and stay here. You see, they're like Stockholm Syndrome because he represents things to them that I suppose they feel that they need to, you know, they want to cozy up to daddy, even though daddy's an abuser. That's what it is. It's Stockholm Syndrome. So the EFF are saying, no, it would be great if he could come and live here. Wouldn't that be terrific?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
I just don't get it. Again, like, you shouldn't have a misleading name in life. Economic freedom fighters. What has supporting Robert Mugabe got to do with being economic freedom and fighting? The guy did not really give any of those things to his people.
No. 93% unemployment in Zim, hey? You know that? 93%.
No.
Yes. 93%. And then some idiot goes and says, well, at least their BEE worked because most of the businesses are owned by black people. I'm like, yeah. All 7% of the economy.
What is the plus side of living with your head up your ass?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Jangled headphones in my eyes. What is the benefit?
Sorry, if you're hearing a lot of noise, it's Ben tidying up the headphones, which I appreciate because it's just so much nicer when they're tidy and the little cords are wrapped around them all nicely. And you know, it's giving me joy. I'm odd like that.
Oh, it's the little things.
It is. It's the little things. Anyway, so we found out that Sia is going through the menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Mugabe has resigned.
Mm-hmm. Ben lives in Cape Town.
Ben lives in, yeah, like a suburb of Cape Town in Johannesburg, which doesn't have water.
Yeah.
My aunt was up here from Cape Town the other day, so I said to her, are you having nice long showers? She didn't think it was funny.
Oh. Sensitive.
But she said everybody in Cape Town is very sensitive about this water situation. It's a major problem. You know, they have to use very sparingly. No one's allowed to stockpile water because if they see that you've stockpiled water, then they're going to get upset with you as well. So there are people who are trying to hide the fact that they're stockpiling water. That's what she told me. But basically, they use their buckets when they shower to collect the grey water, and then they use that to water the garden or, you know, to kind of wash the dogs or all that kind of thing.
See, that's why you got to have a cat in this climate.
Cats look after themselves.
Cats look after themselves. And, you know, we're like, we can't live right now, but Meowth's bowl is pretty full. She'll be okay for a couple of days.
No, she's chilled.
She'll sort herself.
Don't worry. And if she needs to, she'll drink the blood of some poor bird.
Oh.
Exactly.
Yeah. She'll find a way of surviving.
Resourceful.
Yeah.
Not in the best of ways, though.
All right, Elson, what's up, dude?
Hey, bro.
Yeah, you've got a lot to say. You got a lot going on in your home country. Tell me.
Man, this feels surreal, though.
I know. You never thought the day would come that Mugabe wouldn't just die in office, right?
I thought I would die first.
So I met someone yesterday, Elson, and uh-huh. I don't agree with this, but it's a point of view that has come up from a lot of South Africans and even ex-Zimbabweans who I've spoken to, is uh-huh. that Zimbabwe's people are such chicken shits that they had to wait for this whole thing to be peacefully resolved because they're just, this is the word they use, docile. That Zimbabweans will just take whatever shit gets meted out at them. And for 37 years, they've been taking this man's shit. And they just don't know any other way. So if this hadn't come from the military, it would never have come. It certainly wasn't the people having their way, you know? And a lot of people are being very critical of Zimbabweans. What do you say to that?
That is absolutely true. Well, those words were a bit harsh, but that is absolutely true. I was saying this to a mate of mine that... exactly what you just said. Had it not been for the military, none of this would have happened.
At least someone in Zim had the balls to like stand up to this douchebag.
Absolutely. From how I see this was an inter-party argument, right, that just spilled out. And they kind of used the public to rally support. But this had nothing to do with people just saying, okay, cool, we are going to go up and do this. It had nothing to do with that. So I think whoever said that is absolutely right. And from how I see this, I posted on Facebook yesterday that I'm excited but not happy.
Well, I mean, in the end, you know, we can talk about one man going, but the party's still there and the party's still rotten to the core. It's kind of like the problem we've got in South Africa is that even if we get rid of the monster at the top, there are a whole lot of people in the network underneath him that are just as bad, if not worse.
Exactly. I mean, Mugabe and the shit that he did was not a person. It was, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like an ideology.
Yeah. Right?
So getting rid of Bob alone is really not going to solve anything, because you're clearing way for another greedy person just to come through and take up. Because I don't know if you know this, the next president will most likely be Mnangagwa. You know this, right? And the constitution says no president above 70 can take office. Guess how old he is?
Yeah, he's in his 70s.
Like, that has 75. To actually be said. Like, you've actually got to remind people.
You know, I feel bad for, like, young people in Zimbabwe who will never know a president who isn't more than double their age.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
In the last 37 years or the next 10, you know?
Yeah. So either he's going to have to rewrite the constitution to suit his age, which, again, is already a red flag.
Yeah, well, let's just take a minute, because I don't want to immediately start looking for the next problem. I mean, this is a moment to celebrate. What do you think's going to What do you think's going to happen in Zim? I mean, do you think people are going to fill the streets in the next couple of days and kind of claim some of their lives back and exercise a bit of the freedom that they've been so frightened to exercise over the last couple of years?
I'm actually going to Zim today.
Exciting, man.
Yeah, man, you know, you wake up this morning and you're like, was this a dream? But I'm really excited. I got videos from back home and people just couldn't stop celebrating. So, yeah, like you said, it's something that we just need to take a moment and breathe in. You know, I was actually driving yesterday when I got a call to say, hey, are you listening to the news? I'm like, no. Like, finally, the guy has stepped down. You know, I had to park on the side of the road, search for a radio station and listen to find out if it's true. So, it's a new era, so to say. I don't hate the man. I just wanted to see the guy out of the way. So let's just wait and see how this goes. Who knows? It might be a pleasant surprise and things might actually turn around in Zim.
Where do you think he's going to go?
From what I hear, that side, SA.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want him.
Well, nobody does. Well, he has to go somewhere. Yeah, but from what I've been hearing, Zuma invited him over. And I don't know how far true this is, but I hear that the day before he decided to resign, the one person who flew over to Zim and spoke sense into him was Kenneth Kaunda.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you heard this. Yeah. He had a meeting with Kenneth Kaunda for quite a bit. And a few hours later, he then wrote his resignation letter and handed it to the Speaker of Parliament.
All right, well, that'll do it, because he was obviously also embarrassed. You know?
So you know what you need to do?
Yeah.
You need to get Kenneth Kaunda a plane ticket to SA.
Immediately. Get him to sit down with Jacob Zuma for a little bit. All right, well, listen, man. Right. Let's not get caught up in the practicalities so quickly after something momentous like this has happened. And you deserve to be happy about this, dude. So celebrate a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And whoever's an SA, whatever you see a Zim guy, give him a hug, man.
Yeah, for sure.
This is a moment of celebration.
Go round to your nearest Zimbabwean friend's house and go and have a drink with him.
There you go.
Or her. Yeah. Good. All right, dude.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Cool.
All right, Elson.
Cheers.
Cheers. There we go. There's Elson. Listen to this report quickly. This is from Reuters.
In Zimbabwe, as 37 years of rule by a single man ends, President Robert Mugabe resigned just hours after his foes and former party allies united against him in formal impeachment proceedings.
God, I'm happy. I'm so happy.
This is McDonald for Reuters in Harare. Here I am within earshot of Parliament of Zimbabwe, where the Parliament was just sitting. Behind me, as you can see, it's a rally, good natured, people are happy, prayers, political parties and civic leaders are all speaking in support of the military action that saw President Robert Mugabe being confined to his house.
It's been 1 week since the military action that put Mugabe under house arrest, the impeachment process giving an air of legality to what would otherwise have been an outright coup. But until now, there's been little indication he'd step down voluntarily, even as he was being pressured from all sides. Hours before his resignation, he tried calling a routine cabinet meeting as if it was still business as usual, but only 6 out of 23 attended. The rest sat in on the impeachment proceedings instead. Reuters reported moves were being made behind the scenes against Mugabe as early as September, but the powder keg exploded when he fired his vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, in favor of his wife, Grace Mugabe. That triggered the military intervention. Those generals are now seen as heroes by Mugabe's foes. Mnangagwa has been appointed to replace Mugabe as party leader, but he's currently out of country. He said he'll return when his safety is assured.
Well, that's a bit weak of him. I mean, his safety. What about the safety of your people? Get back in there, dude. That's not exactly leadership, you know? This is your moment to shine. You should go there no matter what happens. And you should get in and start immediately. What are you waiting for your safety to be guaranteed? There's no such thing. Get in. This is the moment to strike. Don't be an idiot.
This all just sounds so, I don't know. I mean, as a white, I obviously can't comment on this because I'm not as qualified. As a white.
As a what?
But it all just sounds like a whole lot of bullshit. This guy has been oppressive. He's been terrible for this country. And this whole kid gloves treatment that he's getting, he doesn't deserve this. He never respected his people. Why must people respect him? People do what they can to, like, respect the process and give him options, give him time. Ben, bullshit. Kick him down the stairs.
Yeah, but Ben, this is the civilized... No, this is a civilized way to behave, and I applaud Zimbabweans for not behaving like idiots.
But what does it mean? The next person's going to come do the same thing with what's going to happen to him. Nothing bad.
I don't know that that's... I think this is all a slow evolution. I really do. And well, it was.
Look, I would like to think so, but, I mean, I haven't seen the evidence that suggests this is going to be a slow, beautiful transition towards freedom, equality, and prosperity.
It's a step in the right direction. I don't know if you expect everything to be solved overnight. That's not how it works.
No, but there must be punishment for being like this. This guy has ruined this country.
But you're focusing on him. Don't focus on him. Focus on the country and the people.
But it's been about him. He made it about him.
Yes, but...
this next person's going to make it about himself.
But he's a 93-year-old demented nutcase. Don't worry about him.
But he's a symbol of what's wrong with this continent.
Well, you can worry about symbolism all on your own. I think we've got to take this one step at a time in Zim.
Do you think in his head...
And I applaud the fact that the military didn't just do an outright coup and that they had some kind of process which gave a bit of constitutional credibility to the whole thing. Otherwise, they would be as bad as him because they'd just be forcing their will onto the people. I mean, I think this is a very good move. A small first move, but it's certainly a move in the right direction. And a hell of a lot better than what could have happened. Either he could have stayed, Bob, and kept an iron grip on everything, or the generals could have taken over. Equally a bad idea, because then you're run by a military junta.
Ooh.
J-U-N-T-A. It's a word to describe a kind of military government.
What language?
I think it's Spanish.
Oh, junta.
Yeah.
See the land of my grandmother.
All right, listen, let's get into the 5 things you need to know today. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Want a free pizza? Well, how about a whole meal? With the slices you earn in Colcacchio Rewards, you can have these and more. All you need is to download the app from your app store register and use your earn code every time you visit a Colcacchio. And by the way, they're celebrating their 25th birthday, right? You can actually get a margarita pizza for 25 Rand.
Sure.
Ooh.
Yes. Go and check out your nearest Colcacchio store today. And don't waste any time. Don't make me say this 3 times. Go today. Go today. That's twice. I'm not going to say it a 3rd time. You've got the basic idea. All right, here's what you need to know. First of all, in news headlines today, the 5 things that you need to know. First of all, News 24 commenting. They're saying, don't worry too much about the politics, which is sort of what I'm getting at. Let Zimbabweans at least celebrate this moment because it is the fall of a dictator, if nothing else. News trickled out that Robert Mugabe had resigned after nearly 40 years in power. Zimbabweans started flooding the streets of Harare to celebrate. Last week, they came out in large numbers and voiced their desire to see the end of Mugabe's 37-year rule, but the nonagenarian had been digging in. He was defiant to the courts. Well, now he's gone from any kind of position of authority and power anywhere. And in other news, we've got a couple of stories that you might be interested in. Life is Dimeni. Dr. Mahabo Manamela's absence from the arbitration has upset the victims, particularly one mother on her late son's death. So that saga continues. And again, our hearts go out to the people who've lost loved ones, because it just seems that this is one of the most callous inactions or actions, depending on which part of the story you believe, that our government in Gauteng has ever been, accused of since they took over. Mugabe goes, is Zuma next? And again, an interesting story. This is more of an opinion piece than anything else, but listen to this for a headline. Let's get one thing straight. President Jacob Zuma is not Robert Mugabe. Despite his many flaws, Zuma is far from the corrupt, murderous dictator that ruled Zimbabwe for 37 years, the Iron Fist. That's what Adrian Basson says in News 24 today. Zuma did not kill 20,000 people to wash away the opposition as Mugabe and his murderous 5th Brigade did during the Gukurahundi massacre of 1983-84. So people are comparing the two, and Adrian Basson says you don't have an appreciation for history if you do. There was an impossible New Zealand maths exam. So you think if you're writing matric exams at the moment that you've got a tough time? Well, complaints are being investigated after geometric reasoning sections of a high school paper left the brightest students despondent and in tears. A New Zealand maths exam for high school students has been criticized as impossible. Not even the smartest kids in the class could do it, and they were left despondent at the difficulty of the questions. New Zealand Year 11 students sat in the maths exams on Monday, and the New Zealand Qualifications Authority has since received a number of complaints regarding the unreasonable difficulty of the paper. So while the rest of the world deals with real news, that's the biggest news story in New Zealand.
Hey, if it's major for them, it's major.
And then this is a good one if you're interested in your health. And by the way, Tim Noakes is going to pop by sometime for a recording one of these days, right, Sia?
Yes, on Friday. And,
you might think Tim Noakes is a charlatan. You might think that he's a tremendously gifted man who's found a new way to deal with all the nutritional questions that we have. But researchers say that negative health impacts of sucrose, that's sugar, could have been combated sooner had research been released, but the industry bodies dispute the findings. So it turns out sugar's demise from childhood staple to public enemy can be seen everywhere, but the battle against sugar could have begun sooner if the industry hadn't kept secrets to protect its commercial interests, according to new findings.
Every industry keeps secrets to protect their interests.
Exactly. And then there's a cigar-shaped asteroid that has just entered our solar system.
A poo.
shaped like a poo, yeah.
Cigar.
It's more or less shaped like a poo. Astronomers running the Pan-STARRS 1 telescope in Hawaii have spotted an intriguing object moving through our solar system, and it became clear pretty quickly that the object, whether it was a comet or an asteroid, had come from outside of our solar system. So exciting visitors from outer space. Not the kind that we were hoping would come, that were alive. But they're calling it Oumuamua.
A who now?
Oumuamua.
Okay.
That's Hawaiian for messenger from afar arriving first. Hmm. It's most likely an asteroid, not a comet, because it lacks a comet's hallmark coma, which is the cloud of gas that surrounds and trails the comet. It has a super weird shape. It's long and skinny. It's about 13,000 feet long, about 130 feet wide. And it was discovered because of the asteroid's massive change in brightness, as astronomers observed it moving away from the Earth. So it's already gone past. Don't panic. Oumuamua. All right? Our new visitor from outer space. And those are the five things you need to know today. Let's turn our attention now to Ben, see what's going on in the sport. The sport is brought to you by Land Rover Jaguar Menlyn. So if you look at the car of your dreams and instantly think that you can't afford it, there might be a way we can change that. And this is not mumbo jumbo. Listen to this. Land Rover Menlyn says it doesn't have to be the case, because you can get into a brand new Range Rover Sport today and only start paying for it in March next year. How do they do it? It's called the payment holiday. And this unique payment holiday is a dream deal. So head on over to menlyn.landrover.co.za to make it a reality. Or you can call them on Pretoria. That's 012-369-2400 and arrange a test drive. I'm telling everybody I know in Pretoria, and even people from Joburg, get in your car, go over there and have a test drive. You have to see what this car is like to drive. It's really unbelievable. And if you feel like it's time that you spoiled yourself and everybody else seems to be getting things and you're not, and maybe just before Christmas you would like to have a fantastic vehicle to go on holiday with, this is the thing to do. Head on down to Jaguar and Land Rover Menlyn. They're just off the corner of Gasfontein Road, and they've got a brand new and improved dealership, which you are welcome to go and send. They'll give you a nice coffee or a cappuccino.
Oh.
You can get to test drive a car or two. It'll be fantastic. It's just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. Don't say I didn't warn you. Ben, what's going on in the sport? You want to take over?
Yeah.
All right, here's your music.
Big night of football last night. And for Liverpool fans, well, they were just smug as all hell. Just happy. Life was good. They were 3-0 up against Sevilla.
Uh-huh.
And then they drew 3-3.
Uh-oh. How did that happen?
Well, they gave away a dodgy free kick that was unnecessary. Bang. 3-1. They gave away a penalty. Bang. 3-2. And then injury time. Well, with knees trembling in the box, Sevilla scored again. So 3-3. Massive loss of points there. And Jurgen Klopp, well, he just ran his hand through his floppy hair and in a charismatic way made for the dugout. Mm. But he says his team does not lack mental ability.
Oh, really?
They just crumble under pressure. I don't know if that's the same thing. Yeah, I'm just a guy who reads sport. So that was what happened last night in the Champions League's group. E, F, G, and H were all going at it. Here's a look at the results. So while Liverpool were doing that, Monaco, they were hammered again. This team has really just gone down the dunny. 4-1, they lost to Leipzig. Apul, well, they played like poopool by losing 0-6. Six goals Real Madrid threw into their net, and that was away. Napoli, they won 3-0 over Shakhtar Donetsk. And then Borussia Dortmund, they were playing a fired-up Spurs team. So fired up that Harry Kane and Heung-Min Song, they scored goals as Tottenham won 2-1.
I knew Heung-Min Song for a while.
Yeah.
Nice guy, yeah.
Talented player. The Besiktas, they drew with Porto 1-1. Spartak Moscow drew with Maribor 1-1. Man City, what happened with them, Sia?
Well, they almost drew, but they ended up losing.
Oh, you were so close there.
They drew.
They almost drew.
But they but ended
Raheem
up
Sterling
winning.
Got a goal. Oh. No one could beat Man City this season.
Raheem is my favorite.
I like this new spin
five
on this sport.
From five in the Champions League.
I like this where we go to CF for the latest, and he convincingly, very, very authoritatively and confidently says what he thinks happened. Of course, it's bullshit.
Well, Feyenoord, to their credit, they've been taking a dicking to everyone in the league so far, and Man City are the best team in the world right now. Well, they're the best team when you consider they just keep beating everybody.
Yeah.
So they're better than everyone they've played.
Right.
And they just keep winning, and they're at end. Good teams find a way of winning, Sia, when a draw is on the cards.
Absolutely.
Here's our lesson for today. So Man City go top. Well, they are top. They're qualified. They go through. So on to tonight. Well, we'll see groups A, B, C, and D in action. And that means that Man United fans, yes, they're there. Zlatan Ibrahimovic will be on the bench tonight, quarter to 10 South African time, as they go play away to Basel. The big game is Juventus versus Barcelona, and that will be at Juventus at 9:45 as well. Juventus have not had the season that they are used to, become accustomed to. And last year's finalists, well, hopefully they can get a win here, because the Champions League needs an Italian team. All the other ones, they, I don't know, lost their way through corruption and probably good red wine. So Juventus is all up to them. CSK Moscow will take on Benfica at 7. Karabakh will host Chelsea also at 7. And then the other match to look out for, Sporting will take on Olympiacos. PSG will be hammering Celtic. And Atletico will take on Roma. All those games, quarter to 10 SA time. Atletico, well, they did manage to draw in the Madrid derby over the weekend, which is a good thing for them. Okay. But this team has also lost their way. Not quite as bad as Monaco, but again, this team has been so good the last few years, but just can't get it right. In the APSA Premiership last night, well, there were some interesting matches there, Gareth. The big one was obviously going to be Wits versus Sundowns, and the game, Sia, was deadlocked. 0-0. On came Kama Biliet, though, the Zimbabwean striker, and he liberated his team, just like his country was liberated in the same day. 2-0, Sundowns scored, both goals coming from the Zimbabwean. Pirates and Golden Arrows, well, drew 0-0. Cape Town City did the same with Baroka FC. And tonight, we'll see more matches. So Free State Stars take on Chipper, Platinum Stars versus Bloom Celtic. Is that right? Yeah. Masuli will take on Chiefs, and then Polokwane versus Maritzburg United. So if you've been waiting and yearning for football, this is your week. Michael Checker, our favorite rugby coach in the whole world, well, he's still sweating over a disciplinary hearing because he called the ref a fucking cheat.
Wow. Well, yeah, he mouthed it. We heard that. Yeah.
Allegedly, he mouthed it. Let's use the allegedly with fingers winking.
You can see, you don't have to be deaf to be able to lip read when someone says, fucking cheat. You can see it on their face. Right?
It's just not fair. I mean, he's an Australian. It's culturally inappropriate to be so hard on a guy who literally, his first few words were, Mum, I want some fucking milk. That's how he got into this world.
That's how Australians speak.
That's how Australians speak.
Respect their culture.
Can we respect their culture, please?
Yeah.
So this guy has been hauled over the coals for just being Australian. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like going to an Afrikaans guy and like fining him for veldskoen. Just not fair. I know that's also stereotyping on my part, but this just shows what an embarrassing situation this is for all worlds cultures.
Right.
Leave Checker alone. He's going to swear. He's going to mouth off. He's going to act like it's his bachelor party every weekend when he goes out. But that's what being Australian's about.
Absolutely.
If you have any doubt what being Australian's about, the Ashes starts tomorrow, Sia.
Oh.
Right.
Huge thing, this. Now, Joe Root says it will be intimidating. It will be horrible. Joe Root's the English captain, of course. But don't be scared. Don't be scared. Now, David Warner, he's that little cocky shit who always gets in the ear of all the batsmen and all the English players. He'll be looking to intimidate people right off the bat. And he says his neck will be fine come tomorrow. So be no worries. He'll be in there. Even if he has to have 33 cataflam and basically wear a Transact scarf. He's in there. He's in there.
All right.
So that's going to take place tomorrow. Australia, obviously, overwhelming favorites for various reasons. English have had many, many injury worries, whereas the Aussies, well, they've had their selection issues in the past. Not because they haven't had the players. It's because they've had selectors who don't know how to select. But the team looks pretty strong. And, well, there's the Hong Kong Open on from tomorrow on the European Tour as the 2018 season starts, 4 days after the 2017 season finished. And in other cricket, well, the Ramsdale just keeps powering on. But it's a bit tough to get really excited about this until the semis and final because the Titans are just basically going to beat everybody. And the Cobras will just offend everybody but with their horrible orange outfits. I mean, I get progress and I get making things flashy in sport, but why a team with a traditional blue background must adopt orange is beyond me. I know that sounds like a small issue right now.
It's a big issue.
There's bigger problems
very
in
big
this world.
No, Ben, this is a big deal.
But this is slippery slopes, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, this is how it starts.
Orange kits.
Next
why?
Thing.
Why? That's your sport for today on this Wednesday.
Thank you, Ben. Just to illustrate the Australian culture and temperament before we get to Said by Sia, here's a great song about how Australians talk to each other. And it can only be from our friend Kevin Bloody Wilson. This will give you an idea of how Australians...
Australian.
Yeah, this is a great Australian man. He should be Prime Minister.
I'm Walker Rainer. I'd like to make a call. Can I have 4773104?
I'm sorry, sir. Could you repeat that number once again?
4773104. Did you get it then?
Right. Could you speak a little...
3104, are you bloody deaf or what?
Well, I got the first bit, I just can't get the last.
Well, pick that frickin' phone up your fucking arse.
Right, that's Australians.
Pick that fucking phone up your fucking arse. You're supposed to fucking help, not make it fucking hard.
That's how they talk to each other.
I wanna make a call, but you're just being smart. You can pick that fucking phone up your fucking arse.
How do you like that, Sia? That's Australia for you.
Oh.
But wait, the story gets better. So he's had the fight with the operator.
Yes.
Right?
Good morning, guy from Telecom come to disconnect the phone for a breach of regulations just a couple of days ago. You upset our operator with a pretty nasty call.
What are you fucking on about with all that fucking fault?
Well, she claims that it was all your fault. She really was distressed.
Well, what about your customers? You upset me first.
We've got her written statement, which shortly will be read. But it might help if you'd recall exactly what you said.
I said, pick that fucking phone up your fucking ass. You're supposed to fucking help, not make it fucking up. I just tried to make a call, but she just acted smart. So I said, pick that fucking phone up your fucking ass.
That's how they talk. It's part of their culture. You want to hear the rest of the story?
Let's.
All right.
That's not exactly odd, sir. It's just not odd at all. You must use common etiquette if you wish to make a call. And please and thank you also help. You can't talk to her like that. Please and bloody thank you. Well, you fucking tell her that. And she knows without a telephone I'm really in the shit. Well, perhaps if you'd apologise, that just might help a bit. Apologise? Apologise? Apologise to who? Just go in and ask for operator 42. I'd like to speak to operator 42.
Oh. I'm sorry, sir, I missed that. Could you repeat what you just said?
Oh, shit, I don't believe it. Here we fucking go again. Operator 42, look, I'll just write it down.
Operator 42, I'll see if she's around.
Gee, they're bloody useless. I'm sure that they're all deaf. No wonder that I did me quince, no wonder that I said.
And this is him trying to be polite, you understand?
I just want to
Australia.
Be cool, but you're just being smart, so stick that fucking phone up your fucking ass.
So he finally meets the operator.
Now they'll make me sit around and wait all bloody day, just so they can make me sweat and have the final say. It's like the public service, they make you scrape and bow. Oh, shit, she's fucking ugly, if that's her coming now.
I'm operator 42, I'm busy, make it fast.
Did a bloke tell you to stick that fucking phone right up your ass?
Yes, he did, the filthy animal, I remember now.
Well, you'd better fucking brace yourself, cause they're bringing it around.
All right, so that's Australians, how they talk to each other. That's their culture. As Ben says, you got to understand that when you want to have a go at Michael Checker for being rude to, you know, the ref and everybody else at the game. When he says, you're a fucking cheat, he really is just speaking like you and I would say to each other, excuse me, Mubs, could you pass me the butter?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
So when you hear you're a fucking cheat, he's like, well, maybe I didn't agree with that one, but I still respect you as a human being. Basically what he's saying.
We just need to be more understanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. Okay.
All right. It's time now for us to find out from Sia, in Said by Sia, what's happening that we can feel good about, what's making us a little bit less negative and miserable about the world around us, because who knows, these days there might be people who are positive, but we're not all imbued with his level of optimism, and Sia might be able to let it rub off on you.
I hope so. And this morning, I want to shine a light on an organization called Say Yes, S-A-Y-E-S. And they're a nonprofit working towards supporting and assisting teenagers with the transition of living in orphanages to moving into the big world. So they mentor and guide them to succeed. And as you'll know, at the age of 18, youth in South Africa's children's homes and orphanages are no longer allowed government care and must begin to fend for themselves. And, you know, we tend to sometimes hear negative stories around orphanages and children's mm-hmm. homes, etc., etc., and like whether you think they try hard enough or they don't, I think they are able to raise some of our kids. But when you think about it, think about how you were at 18 and you were a mess and now you have to go out there into the world all by yourself. It's sometimes even the little things that you just need guidance on, or you need someone there to, you know, nearby you to know that someone cares. And this organization is doing that, and I think it's awesome. You know, at 18, you're faced with complex challenges such as finding and maintaining employment and housing, or managing even your finances, your personal finances, and advancing your education, not to mention just little tiny personal obstacles such as, you know, developing healthy relationships and maintaining your well-being. So Say Yes facilitates mentoring for youth living in Cape Town children's homes who are preparing to transition into the life as independent adults. So through the program, it's designed to optimize the impact of mentoring with the aim of creating sustainable social change and eliminating inequality. They believe that effective mentoring has the power to guide young people through this difficult transition so they can thrive as independent adults. So there are roughly 350 young people aged between 14 and 18 who live in Cape Town children's homes, and the goal of Say Yes is to reach all of them. But to do so, the organization actually needs more volunteer mentors. Currently, Say Yes serves roughly 1/4 of those young people. And in this short amount of time that they've been running, they've been great examples of what mentoring can actually do for these young people. So one example of this and their recent success story is a mentee who learned about cycling from his mentor and eventually trained for the Cape Town Cycle Tour. And another mentee, here's another story, was recently accepted to Stellenbosch University to pursue a career in finance. And another is working at a luxury Cape Town hotel, pursuing her dream in of accomplishing a culinary career. So I think it's an amazing program. Mentors develop this genuine, rewarding relationship with these young people in their communities, and they broaden their own perspective. So if you're in the Cape Town area and this is of interest to you, I thought let's just talk about that this morning.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they're accepting volunteer mentor applications now through to Jan of 2018.
So it's especially for kids who've come out of orphanages and are transitioning into, you know, life kind of as adults on their own.
Just trying to deal with life.
And see, and by the way, you don't have to be a mentor who has a big business or who has some kind of a story. You know, a lot of the soft skills are the ones that hold people back. And we had an interview yesterday with Courtney Carey from the School of Etiquette. And for many people in South Africa, and I would imagine especially if you've had a very adverse childhood and you maybe didn't have both your parents or even one of them around, it's the little things that hold you back. It's not that you aren't clever. It's not that you aren't educated. It's not that you don't have access to resources. It's often just that you don't know how to approach people, that you don't have personal skills, that you haven't been taught, you know, how to behave, what kinds of things are appropriate and inappropriate, because you didn't have parents to show you. And so some of these skills, and that's why I'm saying if you want to be a mentor, you don't have to necessarily come in with a massive multi-million rand business and let them come and observe you at work and all that stuff. Sometimes it's just letting them into your house and kind of letting them observe how a functional instead of a dysfunctional environment works.
True.
Yeah, it's tiny little things. And believe me, there are a lot of us in South Africa who can help out in ways like that.
Absolutely. So Say Yes is hosting information sessions over the next couple of weeks. And you can visit www.sayyesmentoring.org/mentors to find out more information. I think it's an awesome one.
Very nice. So I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of people are sending around that meme that says, actually, this whole Zimbabwean situation was just really because Bob was trying to get rid of Grace. So it's one hell of a divorce settlement. You know, basically he said, I'll do anything. I'll even give up Zimbabwe if I could just get rid of Grace. So that's some way to get rid of your wife, faking a coup.
That's a lot of effort go through. Yeah.
He's just, I only want to spend the last 3 or 4 years that I have on earth without that goddamned woman. Where is she, by the way? Does anyone know where Grace is?
Oh, if she's smart, she's abandoned him.
Yeah, because what's he got for her anymore?
Yeah, he's wrinkly useless to her now.
What's he got?
He's useless to her now. She's got to find
a new sugar daddy.
What is she going to do?
A new blesser.
What is he going to do?
Both of them,
actually.
You can see what he's going to do because he's already doing it. He spends most of the day sleeping.
Do you think he thinks he's done a great job?
Sure.
And in his mind, all these years, he was doing great work.
Oh, yes. And he can't understand why these people are being so why are they being so difficult about it? You know, he deserves to kind of carry on being president till he's dead. In his head, there's nothing wrong with that. All right, who's on the line, Amanda? All right, let me see if your microphone is working. This is always exciting. First thing in the morning is Amanda's mic. Hello. If that works, we do well. Hey, who's this?
Hey, Gareth. Just speaking to Dean. How are you?
Hey, Dean. What's up, man?
I wanted to touch on something you mentioned right at the beginning of the show. You were speaking to Elson, and you said, somebody says Zimbabweans are docile. And we pretty much don't bring this freedom on our own.
Well, so let me be 100% clear, because I know kind of how this might be received if it isn't clear. I didn't say that. Yeah. That was what someone who's an ex-Zimbabwean who lives in South Africa now said to me yesterday.
Ah, yes. Sorry. Okay. So on that, I actually had a discussion yesterday with a friend of mine about this. And so I'm from Zimbabwe originally. Mm-hmm. So what I was mentioning to him is, as Zimbabweans, we never had this sort of like freedom that people have in South Africa here, where you can make a, I don't know, comic about the president and not get him in serious trouble.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you've heard of Itai, who disappeared just for putting a placard saying, you know, Mugabe must go.
Yeah.
Guy hasn't been seen since.
Right.
So it's more when you're dealing with the militant people, government, that have, in essence, pretty much disarmed the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger generation is a bunch of born frees. It's a situation where all the young guys, we wanted to go to heaven, but no one wanted to die.
Right.
That really is it. I don't think it's more being docile. It's really just we don't have as much freedom as people do here.
No, you make a very good point. And obviously, you know, the change that happened, the kind of independence that came in 1980 was also a very managed process. So there wasn't an opportunity there for people to really understand that a new government means that independent individuals now have freedom under this government. For most people, it was just, well, we're going from a certain kind of rulership to a different kind of rulership that at least represents us a little bit better. But we have no idea of what this might mean.
Yeah. So even at this stage, we're also at a similar point. A lot of people are saying freedom, this and that, but we don't know yet.
Yeah.
I mean, Emerson was, in my opinion, was one of the people pulling, one of the puppeteers to Bob. I don't subscribe to that belief that Bob was always 100% the guy responsible for everything. Emerson and Chiwenga are all, you know, partisan of everything that's going on. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. I, on the other hand, am not going to vote for ZANU-PF. They haven't convinced me yet. 37 years.
But Dean, can I ask you something? Because there are 29 opposition parties, and none of them really seems to be able to get their act together and discuss anything more than getting into office. It would seem to me that a lot of these opposition parties have no plan. They say we'll be better than Bob, which is really like saying in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. But they don't seem to offer very much more to people. And I don't know that I would have a huge amount of faith in the opposition parties in Zimbabwe myself.
That is actually quite true. And I'm actually of the same opinion. I remember just over 2 weeks ago, I decided, okay, I'm going to go register to vote. And then, after a few days, I'm like, gee, who am I going to vote for? I'm not going to vote for the MPC or anyone. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to vote. Then after this whole thing has happened, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go vote, but I'm not voting MPC. I'm not voting ZANU-PF. I'll vote for someone, but more as a statement than an actual
right.
I like you.
So it's almost like you'll be voting against ZANU than you'll be voting for someone else.
Exactly, actually. You hit the nail on the head there.
And you know what, dude? That's okay. That's acceptable.
Yeah.
That's totally okay if you ask me. I'm happy with that explanation. And again, you know, I've got to say, I'm a massive fan of Zimbabweans because I know lots of Zimbabweans in South Africa. Some of them have very important jobs here. Some of them have more menial jobs that they shouldn't have because they're more qualified than perhaps a lot of people who don't have work in South Africa, but they're prepared to do what, you know, a lot of people might not be prepared to do just because they're refugees. I have a huge amount of respect for the Zimbabweans that I do know. And of course, I don't like to generalize because there are probably also awful Zimbabweans in South Africa. But these are by and large our brothers in the continent. They live not too far from here. There's a lot that we share in terms of the history of our country and of Zimbabwe. And I do feel that, you know, what's happened here for Zimbabwe is a very, it's been a long time coming. You guys deserve to have a say in your own future for a change.
Yeah, true. Oh, yeah, thanks, Jared.
All right, bro.
I'll be heading to Zim sometime next week just to register to vote.
Have you seen that picture that's going around of that guy with like 200 suitcases piled on a trolley and it says, I'm going back to Zimbabwe for good?
A friend of mine sent that to me and I'm like, that's me, but I'll be back next week.
Yeah, all right, cool, man.
Cool, cheers.
Cheers,
bye.
Dean. Bye. Yeah, don't get all excited that the that Methodist church in town is suddenly going to be empty, because there are a lot of Zimbabweans who can't leave because they don't have the means. And a lot of Zimbabweans don't want to go back. You've also probably seen on WhatsApp people send around that message that Robert Mugabe has left the group. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Sia. Didn't you get it? Are you not a member of any groups? Mabali, how is sex with benefits diet going? Have you lost single or double-digit kilograms? That's from Migs.
Oh.
I'm no longer having sex with benefits.
Oh. So I'm that's dried up.
No, I'm in an actual relationship now.
Oh. Just how excited Sia is.
It's new for me, so we'll see how this goes.
All right.
Yes, girl.
Ben, I wound up in an impromptu quiz last night with sport and money being the topics. Thanks to you and Anthea, I didn't suck. Michelle.
Nice, Michelle. Very good.
I agree with Ben, says someone else. Make an example out of Mugabe so that the current idiots in charge take cognizance of their actions.
Exactly.
Ben, they had to do it legally, i.e. not a military coup, or else they would have given SADC and the AU the authority to step in. Good article in the Daily Maverick about how the Zim military leaders outwitted everyone by doing it this way.
Yeah, that's a good perspective. Thank you.
Okay, so I will ask every person if they're Zimbabwean and then give them a hug. According
yeah,
to the
don't go all Kevin Spacey about, oh, I thought he was Zimbabwean.
Yeah, that wouldn't be cool.
That's not fair.
All right, so when we come back, we'll check in on some news. I'm very excited. Prime Circle are popping by this morning, and we're going to catch up with Ross and the rest of the crew.
Yay.
They're going to be in just after 7:30. Yay, indeed. All right, Sia, you get to choose. What do you want to listen to this morning?
Ooh, how far back do we go?
Whatever you want. And if Mabali and Ben both say no, then they veto you. So be careful.
Do you know Eminem is back with a new single?
Oh, no, that piece of shit will not be played today. I'm sorry, I don't have water. I'm
Eminem is a piece of shit, you say?
I hate that guy. He's embarrassment to all men.
What in the 8 Mile are you talking about?
Oh, please.
What did he do to you? Where did he touch you, Ben? Show us. Show us where Eminem touched
you. Listen to any of his songs. It's just so disrespectful to women. It's disrespectful to anybody who actually draws breath in this world. It's like, me. I'm so angry. Get a life, dude.
Okay. Let's listen
to the new Eminem
single. Stop
calling every woman a hoe when
you
probably got a small penis and you're inconsiderate lover.
Sure.
I hate that guy. I do. I hate that guy.
Stan didn't do anything for you.
No, because my life wasn't in self-proclaimed turmoil. Like, there is happier ways to live life. You don't always have to bitch about stuff.
So which song do you want, Sia?
Eminem, Walk on Water.
Oh, is this the new one?
Yes.
Okay.
All right,
it's called Walk on Water, and it happens to just feature a little artist by the name of Beyonce, Giselle Knowles.
I knew there would be something. There had to be a catch, right?
Sell out.
Now you've put two of Ben's favorite people into one song.
Do it.
What a hypocrite getting Beyonce on a song because he hates women.
Is that Ben?
He hates women, but he's not a hypocrite to get Beyonce in. I mean, he pumped Mariah Carey a long time ago and he's still dragging her over the coals.
It's a good song.
What a dick. Only when it freezes.
Why? Our expectations so high. Is it the bar I set?
CliffCentral.com